And now tonight is en route to the place of all places. Our life is en route. What does en route mean? I'm on a journey. I'm going through. All right, let's just close our eyes. Lord, this is the last meeting. And I ask thee that in thy mercy, thou wilt speak to us in this last meeting. And that we will have attentive ears to hear thy voice. Keep us awake, Lord, and just bless us in these last moments. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, earth is not our final destination. In normal circumstances, we're probably going to be buried in the earth unless we're going to land up under the ocean or the Lord Jesus coming. But we are passing through. We are passing through. And again, I'm going to ask the question, where are you passing through to? If you're on your way to heaven, it's wonderful. Earth is a passageway to heaven, and we are passengers, like we're going on a train, en route to heaven. Our whole attitude will change if we really grasp this fact. I am en route. I'm journeying, and I'm heading for heaven. Instead of sinking under pain, I know my pain won't be everlasting. I'm on my way to heaven, where forever and ever and ever I'll have no pain. Misunderstanding, people misunderstanding us, will not last forever. It will pass. Why? Because I am en route to heaven. Being lied about will not last forever. It will pass. I'm en route to heaven. Being unappreciated will not be everlasting. It will pass. I'm en route to heaven. Now Hebrews 13 verse 14 says, for here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. And there's that verse, they seek ye those things that are above. Our whole attitude must be, I am en route to heaven. Now from Focus in the Family, there's a true story shared in September 1993. Now, I don't know if you know about these old historical stories, when they spoke about the Lord and the Lady going on a journey, and when the Lord and Lady came back to their castle in Scotland or wherever, what did the villagers do? They went up and they lined the streets to welcome the Lord and the Lady, and they rang the bells of welcome. Now just remember that with a story. It's a story about a five-year-old. Is anybody 5 year? Who's five? Nobody five? No. All right. Well, there was a five-year-old African-American boy who many remembered. He was very, very ill. He had lung cancer, and he was in the final stages of lung cancer. And the nurse that looked after him was called Gracie Schaefer. Because his lungs were so filled with fluid, this little boy of five could hardly breathe. It was terribly claustrophobic, especially for a little five-year-old, even to understand. But he had a Christian mother who loved him, and she never left his side, and where he lay on the hospital bed, suffering day by day. And she would cradle him on her lap and gently speak to him about the Lord Jesus. And she did not hide from him. She said, my boy, it's not going to be long. You're on en route to heaven. And then eventually she got to the time when she said to him, heaven is only a few hours away. And Gracie came into the room one day, the nurse, that very day that he was dying, and she heard him speaking about bells. Oh, mommy, the bells are ringing. And the nurse thought, he's hallucinating. He's already slipping away. And she went out of the room, and a few minutes later she returned again, and he's talking about these bells again. I said, mommy, I'm hearing the bell. And the nurse said to the mother, your little boy is hearing things. He's hallucinating because of the sickness. He's close to death. But the mother pulled her little son closer to her, and she smiled and said, no, Miss Schaefer, it's not so. I told him, when he gets scared, when he gets so claustrophobic, when he cannot breathe, he must just imagine that the bells of heaven are ringing to welcome him home, and that they already sounding for his entrance into heaven. That is what he's talking about. And he talked about bells all day, so obviously he suffered intensely that day and died on his mother's lap, still talking about the bells and the angels that would carry him home. How wonderful for that mother to know heaven was his final destination. He had reached there safely. But oh, the horror, if we or our loved ones are en route to hell. The pain we suffer here will be child's play to the everlasting pain we will suffer in hell. We will wish life, no matter how horrid, how hard it is, would go on forever to escape that everlasting hell. Life is a journey, but I want to emphasize in this last meeting and ask you again, where are you heading? It's our last chance to ask you. In a moment, without warning, you can reach your final destination point. Will it be heaven or will it be hell? Now, in Shaw's book, we read about a little, not a little, she was 20 years old, and I'm not going to ask who's 20 years. But this girl's name was Maggie. And God was very merciful to her because she, in the last moments, she changed her destination. We don't always have that chance. That's why God says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Now, Dr. Durham tells the story. Maggie was Irish. I've got a real soft spot for the Irish because they have an amazing sense of humor always. But anyway, she burnt her body badly with lighting a fire with kerosene. And a doctor, an infidel, a doctor who really said, I don't believe on God, I'm absolutely an atheist, Dr. Benjamin came and bound up, in those days they bound the girl up in cotton wool and oil. But a neighbor, knowing that she was so severely burned, sent for the neighbor by the name of John Byers, an old shoemaker. Come and pray for Maggie, I think she's dying. The doctor says, go away, no praying in this room when John Byers arrived. But he ignored her and took the poor Maggie's hand in his and he said, are you in a lot of pain? Oh, awful, sir. I'm going to ask God to take away your pain. And he fell on his knees without heeding the woman in the room and he said, Lord, take away Maggie's pain so that I can talk to her about her soul. And he was assured God had heard his prayer, so he got up and he asked her, have you got pain? No, sir. All the pain has gone away. And then he told a dying Maggie about a dying Savior. If she believed in him, if she repented of her sins, if she accepted Christ, she could live forever in heaven with the Lord. And right then, on her deathbed, God was merciful to her. She accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. And then she rested quietly. And later on, she opened her eyes and she said, do you hear it? The woman said, what? Music, it's so beautiful. I don't know. Was it the angels come to carry her home? We don't know. But John Byers had hardly left her when someone called out, Maggie's gone. Maggie's gone. But now, his next concern was the final destination of this atheist doctor who was on his way to hell. He was en route to hell. He couldn't sleep that night, that old shoemaker. He wrestled in prayer for the doctor. And then God gave him the assurance, I'm going to save the doctor. So bumping into the doctor, the old shoemaker said to him, God is going to save you. And the doctor was so furious. A shoemaker. A shoemaker to be assured by God that he, an educated man, is going to be saved. And he was so disgusted, he just, and he turned around and he walked away. But the next fall, he went to Florida to recuperate his health. He became under deep conviction of sin. And he was saved in a Methodist church. And that spring he died. So the former skeptic was now saved by God's grace and mercy. And his soul's destination turned from hell to heaven. To escape death and the judgment of God. Hebrews 9:27, and it is appointed unto men once to die. But after this, the judgment. Matthew 25, verse 46, these fearful words, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Where am I heading? Time slipping away. Where am I heading if life ends today? Heaven or hell? Do I know? Am I sure? Once I am dead, there is no further cure. While I'm living, God calls me in love. Jesus, my Savior, sent down from above. Change of direction, a time to repent. Once at the judgment, God will not relent. Those who accept Him can enter one day right into heaven from the narrow way. But if life ends and God's gift was despised, hell lies before me, despite my loud cries. Where am I heading? To heaven or hell? Look in your hearts. Hear what God's word doth tell. Now, when I was a little girl, we had lots of sermons on the coming of Christ, and we don't hear so many sermons on the coming of Christ today, and I think it's because there's so many viewpoints around it, but it's a pity. It's the wonderful news, if we don't die, the Lord Jesus is coming on the clouds to fetch us. He can come first, or we can die first, and it may be in our lifetime. It may be this year. It could be tonight that the Lord Jesus comes. Today. And God says we must be ready. We must be ready for His coming. Why do I say that? 1 John 2:28. And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. Matthew 24:27. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. We need to be ready. Matthew 24:44. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. If I say to you, do you think the Lord Jesus is coming tonight? You say, no, I don't think tonight, but it's next year. Well, in such an hour as you think not, He cometh. Matthew 16:27. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and then shall He reward every man according to his works. Now, a traveler was traveling in Switzerland, and he came to this beautiful villa on the shores of the lake, something like our lake perhaps. And it was very far from the beaten track. He knocked at the garden gate, and an aged gardener opened and said, "Come in." But he was so glad to see him, and he said, "I'll show you around the garden." And he went and he looked, and oh, everything was so beautiful. It was immaculate. There was nothing amiss. And he said, "How long have you been here?" To the gardener, 24 years. "How often has the master been back?" "How long ago?" 12 years ago. "Does he write often?" "No, he writes never. He never writes." "How are you paid?" "An agent pays you." "Oh, so the agent comes often and checks up." "No, never. The money is sent to me." "Does anyone else come here?" "No, I'm almost always alone. Hardly ever, even a stranger like you passes by." "But your garden is in perfect order, as if you expect the master's return tomorrow." The old man replied, "No, sir, as if he's coming home today." He said emphatically. What is our attitude to the Lord Jesus' coming? If He should come today, are we ready? Is everything in order? Are we always ready? Or so that He doesn't, when He comes, we won't be surprised at where He finds us, what we're doing. The old man in the garden, expectant every day, his master might arrive there, be traveling on the way. Therefore, each plant was tended with extra special care. No weed allowed to thrive there, no effort did he spare. Our master also coming. Are we on the alert, obedient, ready, faithful, no room for sin and dirt, but washed, kept clean and radiant, no shame if Christ should come, for we have been obedient, no task of His undone. Ready, yes, always ready, Master might come today. Ready that when He steps here, "Well done," His voice will say. If we belong to the Lord Jesus, there's the comfort in the fact that heaven awaits us when circumstances are very difficult. Because we know heaven is our final destination, whether it's in the clouds, at the second coming, or if death overtakes us suddenly. As a saved person, heaven is the end of the road. Now, Shaw tells us of a ragged newsboy. He was about 12 years old. He was prematurely aged. His little face was pinched. His clothes were tattered. He was really in poverty. And the cold was flapping through his clothes. It says in that little true story that his flesh had actually turned blue from the cold. And he'd once lived in a happy home with a father and mother who loved him and loved God. But both had died, left him with no money, no family, no friends. And after their death, though he was small, he tried to earn his living honestly, selling newspapers and other things. But one day he only had a few cents in his pocket, all seemed against him, and he felt terribly weak. So he threw himself down on the cold ground in the alley and was shivering. And one of the street Arabs, they called them, the street boys, went to him and said, Jimmy, why didn't you go to the lodge? It's where they sleep for a few cents. And the poor boy couldn't move. And he said, I can't move. I can't get up. I'm about to die. I feel so queer. I can hardly see you. Get around me, boys. I can't speak loud anymore. But I kind of see the angels holding out their arms to me. I'm going to go to a beautiful place called heaven. Goodbye. I'm about to be with mother and father. And those were the last words on his lip. The poor boy died. The next morning, passers-by found a stiff, cold body lying on the pavement, on the cold stone. His head against the wall. His body was there. But where was his soul? His soul was with the Lord, in heaven. It doesn't matter how difficult life and the earth is. If we're lonely and friendly, if we don't even have a loving father and mother to cheer us, God is waiting for us at the end of the road. You know, when Stephen was stoned to death, he said, I see the Lord Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And I believe the Lord Jesus was standing up to welcome Stephen home. Always remember, we're passing through, if we save, on our way to heaven. The little newsboy shivered, cold seeped into each bone, a few cents in his pocket. He lay down with a groan. I'm feeling queer, he whispered. It seems life's almost gone. But when I reach the end point, to heaven I'll have gone. I hear the angels singing. They've come to take me home. No hunger there, no heartache, no longer all alone. What matters how the journey has been, the sorrow year? I'm going up to Jesus. My end is joy, not fear. In closing, let's quickly think about what we've spoken about in this week. The first message was, is there a place for me? And we thought of Adam and Eve, the first wonderful place in the Garden of Eden. Everything was perfect. Adam and Eve were the crown of God's creation. And we are also the crown of God's creation. We can claim that title. And in the beginning with Adam and Eve, they hadn't committed any sin. They didn't do wrong initially. But there was always the possibility that they could disobey God. And they did choose to disobey God. Now, God could have made us like robots. Do you know what robots are? Or automatons, they call them. Now, Keith loves old-fashioned wind-up toys. He absolutely, he just gets weak when he sees it in the shop. And you still find them in certain shops. And there's a tradition in our family that every Christmas, it doesn't matter how small it is, but there is a wind-up toy for Keith from me. Now, one Christmas, I didn't manage to get a wind-up toy, so I bought the cutest little set of spanners, you know, little screwdrivers, and I wrapped that up, but you should have seen his face when he opened the parcel. Disappointment and unbelief. Now, how do wind-ups work? Wind-ups, we usually have a little key, isn't that so? And you turn the key and the toy moves. Now, we've got a mother bunny that hops with the babies hopping behind her. We've got a metal crocodile that waggles the size, and it's got a little metal man on the top. And there's a whole lot of stuff. Keith guards the cupboard from little hands with his life. And even I am not allowed to wind up those toys. He is his treasures and he wants to wind them up. But one day my mother and my niece were alone in the home. And they had a field day. They wound up every toy. And it took me a long time to tell Keith. But that toy only moves because a hand has turned the key. Now imagine if we were robots, wind up humans, wind up toys, programmed with no will of our own, programmed to do exactly what God wanted, with no choice whatever. Would there be obedience? Real obedience? No, we'd simply obey God because we were forced to obey God. And that's not how God made us. He made us with the ability to say yes or no. And even in this camp, in these few days, when the messages have come to you from different people, including me, you've said yes or no. To come when He called, or to say, I'm not willing to come, the price is too high. To turn the back on Him if our hearts are hardened. God put everything at Adam and Eve's disposal, longing that they would resist temptation, would resist the devil, and choose to obey Him. But what happened? Man chose to sin. And therefore every human being is born with sin. Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, and so death, that's eternal, the lake that burneth with fire, passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. The crown of God's creation was marred with sin. But what did the wonderful Lord Jesus do? For the tainted with sin crowns of his creation, he was determined to rescue us from Satan's power and clutches, our position, a place of bondage, to reach out for reparation and forgiveness. And he came down to the earth to be crucified. Hey? And you know what? This wonderful scripture, he was crucified before the foundation of the world. It sounds strange. That's Revelation 13:8 and Matthew 25:21. It sounds strange before the foundation because he was crucified over 2,000 years ago. What does it mean? God knew Adam and Eve would sin. And after them, every human being. And so even before we were born, he provided a way because he was willing before the foundation of the world to die on the cross, to pay the price for our sins, so that if we accept his death in our stead, confess our sins, we become his child. And God, God wanted to give us the power and the inclination and the strength to be obedient to him, to fulfill all his purposes and plans for our life in the place that we are, so that we can look forward to hearing his well done. We also spoke about bowing at the foot of the cross and the people around the cross and the religious who rejected the Lord Jesus. Their lives looked good, but they were bad inside. And the thief who accepted the Lord Jesus. We also spoke about the world barred to the obedient Christian. Wrong friends, which will lead us astray, a danger to the Christian. The places where Satan is served. God says no to the Christian. We also spoke of surrendering all to Christ and not holding anything back. To be purposed, to be a witness and a light to all around us. And to realize that the people around us who might be so horrible to us, who might have disappointed us, are actually our mission field. And today, we've heard that we are en route to the place of all places. No matter how hard, what we suffer, we are en route to heaven. Upon the planet, on the earth, a place, a plan for me, that God, the great creator, had ordained just for me. The cross, the place where I had bowed, acknowledging my sin, accepting Christ, God's proffered gift, salvation there to win, a purpose for my life, for I will do what Christ commands, not friends, the world, my own interests, but rather Christ's commands. Among others, my earthly path, to lead them unto thee, let me walk thus that my life points to heaven constantly. My place on earth may be quite hard with things called to endure. But this I know, God's love and care with me God doth ensure. This life is but a journey and heaven waits at last, where trials and tears and hardships forever gone and past. But woe to those who head downwards towards the place called hell. What bitter pain, what agony, impossible to tell. Therefore make sure where you're heading, to heaven, not to hell. And while you live, may your life bless others, God's message tell. Take courage, girls, endure. Family and friends, who knows if your family and friends are sinking nearer and nearer to hell while you are en route to heaven. We must do all in our power to reach them. You know, I, as a child, the song so haunted me. So near to the kingdom of heaven, and yet without the gate. It was written by C.D. Martin. It terrified me. And even as I prayed as a little girl for my unsaved relatives, I was so petrified for them because I knew at any moment their life's cord could be snapped and the hell would be an open, gaping, welcoming, eternal punishment to them. Now, there's an incident in Naismith which is called Almost Home, Yet Lost. It was the year 1754. There was a ship full of gold on its way to Australia, to Liverpool from Australia. And because this ship was full of gold, there was enormous reception arranged for the ship's arrival, for the captain, the officers and the crew. And the hosts were in this banqueting hall. with an enormous welcoming meal arranged for them. They were waited at expected time, but they did not come. And they did not come. And they did not come. So they wondered, why are they so late? And then the tragic news reached them. The ship had been driven off course and wrecked at Mulberry Point, and all aboard had been drowned. Now, there was a very close friend of one of the officers in the hall as the news was announced, and he hastened to the officer's wife to break the sad news to her. He rang the bell, and the door was flung open, and a little girl came running out with outstretched arms, and she said, "Daddy, Daddy!" And then her arms fell at her side, and she said, "You're not my daddy." She thought he was home. And she drew back abashed, outstretched, little arms fell down, and the mother came and apologized for her and said, "My little girl has been expecting her daddy all day." Then the friend broke the tragic news as gently as he could. Her husband, the little girl's father, had never reached the shore and was drowned. And the cry that the mother cried was, "Oh my God, so near home and yet lost after all." Dear girls, is that where you are still at this last meeting? So near, yet still unsaved. Will God say to you, "I never knew you, depart from me"? God says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." We cannot play the fool with God. Don't let those tragic words reflect you one day. So near, so near. So near to making a full commitment to God, and yet unsaved. Don't miss out on God's plan and purpose for your life. A place for me, a place for me. God says I'm special. Can that be? Upon this planet, on the earth, he's noted me before my birth. The crown of his creation I, for whom he sent his son to die, to give his life on Calvary, that I from sin could be set free. A plan, a purpose, just for me. A road mapped out, a destiny, to shun all wrong, to choose what's right, in trials to triumph, stand upright. As years go by, temptations grow, but through them all, God's strength I'll know. Despite what others bid me do, I'll to God's word be firm and true. The doors his word says don't go in. Behind them, child, is lurking sin. I will avoid and not go through, because God's will I want to do. Life is a journey to an end. Death does each person somewhere send. Heaven or hell? The awful choice. Wailing despair or to rejoice? May I therefore see souls at stake and every effort daily make to lead each one to Calvary to find forgiveness, God, in thee. Amen.